It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Matt Slick, Matt Slick Live. And for the newbies, my name really is Matt Slick. I'm a reverend, so Reverend Slick. Born with that name when I was a kid. I really did. And, hey, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Now, we're having a fundraiser here. The summer months are extremely lean for us, and we've been hit pretty hard this summer, I guess you could say. A lot of things going on, you know, just a lot of things going on. And what we're doing is we're offering the CARM schools for $49.95, 30% or 33% off, I think it is, up through the 17th of this month. So if that sounds like something you're interested in signing up for, you go, just go to the CARM homepage. That's all you got to do, CARM homepage, CARM.org, and you can check out the information there. All you got to do is just click on the link in the middle of the homepage there, or you can also just go to carm.org/schools. And here's something if you're on the phone. What we're trying is some new technology. And if you want to know about the information, all you got to do is just text this number. Just text 50700, and just text the word schools. And if you do that, you'll be taken to, or URL will be sent, and that's a page address, you know, www, whatever it is. And you can then check out the school's offer there as well. Hopefully, you're going to want to do that because we really could use your support. What we're really looking for, though, is monthly donations, recurring donations. That's what helps us the most. We certainly appreciate one-time offers. Thank you very much for all of you who have signed up in the past 24 hours. Really appreciate that. But what we also need are $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 monthly donations that just are recurring once a month. And that's very easy to set up, and if you do that, it really helps us with the budgeting a great deal. And as things fluctuate during the summer, it makes our budgeting things go cattywampus. So we do need to cover some stuff, and all we're asking is, you know, 1,000 people at $5 a month. That's not much, because CARM gets about 30,000 visitors a day. And the radio show's on 16 stations, so we should be able to, you know, get a lot of people there. And you'd be able to support us, help us out, and even get something in return. And if you sign up for $10 a month recurring, we'll give you the schools as well. All you got to do is check it out. You can text us on your phone to just the word schools. Text us to the number 50700 50700, and that's all you got to do. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Adam from Clearfield, Utah. Don't even know where that is. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. I'm doing very well. Thank you. Good. I was actually really hoping, and I wanted to ask you this for a long time. If I heard you plug your book, the science fiction one that came out.
I haven't.
I'm very interested in that, but...
It's not released. Yeah, it's not released yet. But go ahead.
Okay, I was hoping you'd give a brief synopsis of it, and I also wanted you to know I'm a supporter. I not only donate to CARM, but I also put the hyperlink to CARM, so anyone that comes to my stuff, they can click on it and go to your page. I absolutely love CARM. As far as your books go, The Influence. Bro, I like gobbled that up in 2 days. I loved every bit of it.
Really?
I was hoping you could tell me if you've got ideas for that sequel and if it's coming out.
The sequel for The Influence is called The Deception. And I'm in about 6 or 7 chapters, had to stop because, let's just say, life got extremely busy. And as an example, today, I've been working nonstop, basically, except for I had a half-hour break today. That's all. And... phone calls, meetings, and arranging things, and trying to catch up. It's been really busy. So the sequel will involve a university and a televangelist, and I'm going to introduce a new character, and let's just say that there's going to be some basic occultist, Satanist type people involved. And the theology taught, how do I say this without giving it away? There's going to be the main figure who's an unbeliever is a televangelist.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be good.
In fact, I read...
Can you tell me anything about... Go ahead.
I was going to tell you, I have one chapter in that book that's only one page. And a few people want me to read it to them, so I read it, and everyone has just said, oh my goodness, they loved it.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Yeah, great.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. What about your science fiction? Can you give me a brief synopsis on that one before I get
sure.
released? Are you keeping it...
Well, this brief synopsis is that there is a crew of six that just get out of hypersleep from dimensional tunneling as they go 22 light years from Earth to go to the Drake system. And they detect, there's an artificial intelligence on board as well, and a cloud is discovered. But the cloud is alive. And let's just say it doesn't go well for the crew.
Fair enough. All right. I'm looking forward to seeing that one come out, my friend. You've just written so many things that are spiritual based, and that's what I really love. That's my passion. But every once in a while, to be able to have something like The Influence, just a book that is fiction, but you were so descriptive, and the scenes with the demons and going in the ears, and oh man, I don't want to give it away either, but just it was phenomenal. So I wanted to let you know I really appreciate your writing.
Thank you.
Both fiction and nonfiction.
Well, you know, I talked to the editor of that book, and she had worked with Charles Lindbergh and Paul McCartney. She's very qualified, and I asked her, I said, what do you think about my writing level and quality? And she said, you want my honest opinion? I said, yeah, I'm not going to be worried about it. I mean, yeah. She said, for your first novel, not bad. I went, okay, good enough. But I'll take that.
Yeah.
Have you read my novella called Atheistica?
No, sir, I have not.
Well, it's a novella, which is a small novel, and the premise of that, and it teaches theology and some stuff too, but the premise is volcanic island forms in the middle of the ocean, and a super rich kabillionaire atheist guy buys it and creates a place. And it's about the civilization and the problems and stuff. I don't make the atheists look bad. I don't make them, demonic. They're intelligent. They're trying to be nice and good. But things just don't work out because of certain premises that they work with. And I've had people read it who've said that they've really enjoyed it. They were surprised by it.
So, I bet I would. Yeah, I can find information about that on Karm.
Yeah, it's actually just go to Amazon and type in my name, Matt Slick. And you can find, I've got several books out, and I've got one on apologetics and I've done that on atheism. I've got some other stuff. I've got a book called How to Woo and
Have
Win Women.
Have you done
women.
Apologetics and Mormonism yet?
No, I'm going to do Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Islam and things like that and theology. But I've also written a book called How to Woo and Win Women by Being an Obnoxious Jerk.
I have heard you talk about that one.
Yeah. And that's fun. And then I've got a series of short stories they're slightly humorous, with Bernard P. Rumford. He's an accountant, and he likes bugs. He's into bugs. And so he has encounters with various things, and things don't go well, in a fun way. And I think people read those, and they enjoy those. So I'm thinking about making a series of shorts out of that as well. I love writing.
Really cool.
Yeah, and I've written other stuff
too. I'm actually writing a book myself, and that's kind of why I like the fact that you're doing fiction and nonfiction. I think it's fun, and get your mind set right. And the way that you did The Influence is kind of what I would like to do with my books, and put some biblical truths in there, but sneak them in there, and tell people about God through a fiction book. And I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. With what you did with The Influence, I like to incorporate that with my own writing. So thank you for that.
Good.
Cheers.
Sure, and I want to do two more, like I said, in the series of The Influence, in the same style with the same characters. So anyway, you know, it's
looking
enjoying
forward
writing.
To it.
Yeah, I wish I could do stuff. I got another All book right. in the works I'm going to tell you about, because this is something someone asked me about recently, and I stopped working on it five years ago because I'm just so absolutely swamped. But it's called the Family Training Course, and it is for the purpose of giving something for mom and dad to work with our 2.3 children at dinner table over a period of years, going through this material that equips and teaches the children as well as the parents various levels of biblical theology and apologetics that are done in such a way that it's very easy to learn, and the book can be repeated over and over at different levels. So that's something I've been working on.
Fantastic. That sounds phenomenal. To be honest with you, so I live in Utah. I know there in Idaho it's not much different, but it's Mormon country. And I've got a lot of Mormon friends that I do love dearly, and we sit and debate, and it's always in love. But they do their family home evenings, and they do stuff like that, and it's something that we've probably have lacked in Christianity for a long time. So I could see a book like that being absolutely useful. If we were more focused on that as a family, you know, what is it? Praise together, stay together, something like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
I've been trying to write and equip the Christians. The passion I have, we have no callers waiting, it's while we're just rambling. I'm kind of enjoying this on a Friday. But I have a passion to defend the Christian faith as well as equip Christians because that's what God's put on my
Glory
heart. And because I have Asperger's, you know, an autism spectrum disorder, there are benefits as well as disadvantages. And disadvantages, I'm not quite socially as good as I need to be. But the advantage is I'm able to understand complicated things and break it down and make it easy to understand for people. So that's how that works. And people have told me that all the time. So people don't realize when I write articles on CARM, I'm making a lot of sophisticated things easy to understand. They're learning more than they realize.
For the layman. Sure.
For the layman, that's right. Uh-huh. So we've got stuff. I'm looking on Amazon. If you just type in my name, you'll see it. Click on my link of my name. I've got Notes on Calvinism, 30 Days of Devotion, The Influence, Right Answers for Wrong Beliefs, Atheistic Apologetics and Atheism, How to Woo and Win Women, one there, and I'm working on others. So.
Well, okay. I'll be getting that Atheistica within the next couple of days, I'll tell you that. Hey, thank you, Matt, for all your time and everything you do. I wish blessings on you and your family, all right?
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay.
Sure, man. Bye now.
Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, we have five open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Also, you know, since we're talking about this, I've written a number of manuals as well, on one on Roman Catholicism, one on Mormonism, and one on basic Christian theology. And one of the things I want to do is convert them to the Amazon format and just put them up on the page, all the books that I sell on Amazon. And so what I'm asking, though, if you have bought any of my books, if you'd go to Amazon and just do a review, that would be awesome, because we really need to do that. And I'll be promoting a lot more later. Hey, give me a call, 5 Open Lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Four open lines. I'll wait for the music. There we go. Four open lines. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get the guy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, guy, how's it going?
Good, Matt. How you doing?
Hanging in there by God's grace. Hanging in there.
Amen.
So what do you got, man?
I have a quick question. My question is about creation, the 6 days of creation.
All right.
And does that include the angels in heaven, or is that just talking about mankind?
There's debate. Just debates. I don't know the answer. The debate is that angels were created before the universe was. One of them is, one theory is, the other one is that they were created after or during the creation of the universe. And I don't know of any verse that designates which is the case. Now, maybe there, I just haven't seen it. So if anybody knows out there, give me a verse. But that's what I understand. We just don't know.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you.
That's it? No other questions? That was quick and easy.
I do have another question.
Sure.
I actually tried to get on yesterday, but I think the time was cut short. What have you heard about the Lucifer's blood?
Lucifer plus?
A flood. The Lucifer flood. So basically what I've heard is there was a world on the earth that Lucifer ruled.
No.
And that there was a flood stuff?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. The pre Adamic race and others. No, that's just hearsay. No evidence for it, and the Bible doesn't teach it.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you can just get rid of that. Thank you. Okay? All right.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Right, that was Guy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, folks, it's a nice Friday. Fridays are often slow. Why don't you give me a call? We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. And, we talked about the angels there a little bit. Let me tell you something about angels, because it's rather interesting. There's some things about angels that people don't understand. And I don't know if you know, but there are different kinds of angels. There's seraphim. There's cherubim. There seems to be powers and principalities. And they are at different levels of authority and power. Archangels as well. And so I think that's interesting. And a lot of people do not know this. And this verse helped form in my mind a theory. And it's 1 Timothy 5:21. I solemnly charge you in the presence... Oh, boy, I can try this again in English. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. That is really interesting, because the word there for chosen is eklektos. And that word is used in reference to people being chosen for salvation as well. And so when I saw that years ago, I started looking up the word eklektos and trying to figure things out about it. I came up with an idea. And why would there need to be chosen angels? Why do they have to have that? I don't understand. At first, I didn't understand. Okay, what's the reason that God put that in there in the Bible? Chosen angels. Well, my theory is this, that they were chosen not to fall. Because my theory is, and this is just a theory, my theory is that that the only one who cannot sin is God. And he cannot sin, period, because it's against his own essence, his own nature. He can't violate his own nature. All created things don't have that divine nature. And so, therefore, because they don't have that quality of God's inability to sin, they therefore have the ability to sin. Not that all will sin, but they have the capacity to, where God does not have the capacity to sin. And I suspect that all angels would have fallen, except God intervened and elected some angels not to fall. And I think that's really kind of an interesting way to look at things. And Adam and Eve were made good, and they fell. And so when I'm thinking of these things and looking at these things, I conclude that that God's intervention was necessary with the angelic realm, because they would have fallen too eventually. And he did something. It doesn't tell us, but it just says that they are elect angels. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. Let's get to James from Illinois. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
By God's grace, I'm doing well. What do you got, man?
I was wondering about marriage. Will we still be husband and wife in heaven?
No. Nope.
I'm not a Mormon, but I'm just wondering.
Now, the marriage covenant that is made is, now a covenant is a pact or an agreement between two or more parties. So when my wife and I got married, we had to stand up in front of a minister and before the congregation and before God. And what we did was we made a commitment to each other, a promise to each other. And that promise included to have responsibility for each other, to stay married to each other, to be sexually faithful to each other, to provide for one another in sickness and in health, until death do us part. Until death. And because that is the criteria for the breaking of marriage, even biblically, when they die, you can marry somebody else, because that's when the covenant of marriage is broken. So when either when my wife dies or I die together, or you know, one before the other, then the survivor is no longer married, and we will not be married in heaven. Okay?
I see.
Mm-hmm. Which for my wife will be really great, because she's sick and tired of me a lot. She rubs her forehead around me a lot. I don't know why. I'm pretty wonderful, but, you know, we'll see.
Okay, man, I'm supporting your show with $5 a month.
Thanks. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Take care, man.
You take care, too, James. God bless. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. That was James from Illinois, and well, I just really appreciate that. That's nice. Let's get to Sean from Missouri. Hey, Sean. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Matt?
Hey, I doing all right.
I have a question pertaining to the book of Revelation.
Okay.
And it's going to be chapter 3, verses 4 and 5.
Verse 3. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If he has an ear to hear, let him hear. Okay? Yeah?
Yes, the question is pertaining to the soiled garment. I know that we're told as believers to not soil our garments in that sense. Is this talking about believers or unbelievers in reference to overcoming?
The white garments...
When it talks about the field.
The white garments are a symbol of purity, and that's possessed by Christians, not by unbelievers. So hold on, okay, because we got a break coming up, but we'll get back to this, okay? Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Let's get back to Sean from Missouri. Sean, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So,
hello?
Yes, I hear you. Mm-hmm. So, we're talking about Revelation 3, 4, and 5. About the white garments, and those white garments represent salvation and cleanliness before God. Okay.
Yeah, and the question was, when it refers to there was few people in Sardis who have not soiled them. So, to assume that they weren't soiled before and they became soiled, is that talking about a believer not walking in the light, or is that talking about an unsaved individual?
Well, it's a kind of hard one to answer. In verse 5, it talks about white garments. That's different than just soiled their garments from something else, because in verse 5, it's talking about those who overcome. Now, I've been to Sardis out there in Turkey. It's a really interesting place. But those people there, it was talking about the illusion, it's alluding to the idea of their purity as a church. And they were obligated to remain pure and to remain strong with God, and there was problems. But they say a few people in that place have not soiled their garments, and they walk with me, and that's what he was talking about. So people could. There were a lot of people who were just doing bad, being bad, seeking idolatry, fornication, lying, homosexuality, adultery, all kinds of stuff. And only a few people were following God. Okay.
All right.
Got it?
That was my question.
All right, man. Well, yeah, God bless. Okay. That sounds good. You too. Now, Sean from Missouri, let's get over to Monique from Greensboro, North Carolina. Monique, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Excuse me. God bless you. Mm-hmm. And I would ask if you would, I'm familiar with your answer some of the times you've answered, but would you unpack, for lack of a better verb, what you're saying about God when you speak of him, that he has basically, and this is paraphrase, basically determined that some would be saved and some wouldn't, when we're talking about the elect and the chosen and those things. If you would unpack that again, for lack of a better verb, as far as, in the simplest terms, I should say, what you mean by that. I don't want to give you an either
or. Right.
Like,
that's
you,
all
are
right.
You saying this or saying that?
Well, let me read scripture here, because the scripture is the issue. And we have to derive our understandings out of the Word of God. And so what it says in Ephesians 1,
right.
3, for example, blessed be God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons. So what the Bible here is teaching is that God chose us in him, and the in him is in reference to Christ. Now, I have to unpack this a little bit. There's a doctrine called federal headship, and not many people know about it, but it's very biblical teaching. And it is that the male represents the descendants, not the female. So in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Adam and Eve were in the garden. She sinned first, gave the fruit to him. He then sinned. But sin entered the world through Adam, not through Eve. That's Romans 5:12. So we see this doctrine called federal headship. And there's other verses I could go into. So in him is a phrase of representation. So in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. So in Christ is a term of federal headship. Just as in him is a term of federal headship, of representation. And it has to do with males, not females. Now, when it says in Ephesians 1:3, in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he, that's God the Father, chose us, that's the elect, in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Why before the foundation of the world? Well, for one thing, God knows all things and decrees all things, because Ephesians 1:11 says he works all things after the counsel of his will. However, I could jump over to Hebrews 13:20, and there it talks about the blood of the eternal covenant. Now, we're not exactly sure what that is, because it doesn't tell us, but it seems to be, as most theologians that I've read, and I agree with them, it seems to be the intertrinitarian covenant, where the Father would give to the Son the chosen ones, the elect. We see this in John 6:37-40. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So he speaks about those who are given to him by the Father. Well, when were they chosen for this? Before the foundation of the world. So it looks like what's happening is, in the intertrinitarian communion, that before the foundation of the world, God elected or chose to give people to Christ. But the choosing had to be in Christ, because the only way they could be chosen is if Christ represents them. Chosen for salvation, to be predestined. So it cannot be that God the Father would work in a matter outside of the communion of the Trinitarian nature by electing without the atoning work of Christ being part of that electing work, because you can't elect without the atoning work. Otherwise, it doesn't make any difference to save. So when it says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, this is the issue of God's election, of his choosing, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. So election is choosing. Predestining is bringing about the actuality of his choosing. So we go to verses like Acts 13:48. As many as had been ordained to eternal life believed. That's a very interesting verse. As many as had been appointed or ordained to eternal life believed. And the word there, appoint, ordain, is the Greek, actually it's the word appoint, is the word tasso in the Greek. And it means actually to put into a specific order and place. As many as had been appointed, put in place for eternal life believed. That's what the verse is saying. And
okay.
Go ahead. I got more I could go, but that's okay.
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. And so we have, in, for example, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And in there, it says, we should always give thanks to God, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Well, that's what it says. And we find all kinds of verses like this. But one of the ones, I'll go to this one more, just for be interesting here. I'm going to go to verses 12 and 13 of chapter 1 of John. So John 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The fact that they're being born again and all this is God's work, not man's. And I can go on, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no, and that's what I've got so much swimming through my head too, but I wanted to jump on that most recent one.
Sure.
Said, not by the will of man.
Right.
And where I'm going and my purpose mm-hmm. of this is I've come across a lot of people that, particularly ones that have the agenda of proving somehow that God is faulty or that he has some kind of something is not fair for,
right.
You know, and that's what I want to debunk now. But what
Easy.
I wanted to kind of put out there, this is how I try to explain to these people and ask the Lord for just Holy Spirit leading to be very gentle, as he said we ought to be, mm-hmm. but very stern on what I'm saying,
right.
Which is that even in that, because of course God knows all things, we could not get saved because something in our will was so perfect that we knew we need to get saved. That's what I've taken that, not by the, you know.
Well, wait, I didn't understand.
A choice.
I didn't understand. You said that something in our will is perfect? I'm sorry.
No, this is what I'm, yes, no. We can't, it says when you were saying not by the will of man, and what I'm saying is that would mean, and to, you know, that would, I would take that to mean it is not within our will. It is not within our ability, I should say, of our will. We don't have a perfection in us that would even be able to discern the need for salvation.
We'll credit the fact
that we were saved to our own perfect understanding in our will that we need to be. That's what I'm saying, as opposed to the choice, you know, because some people take that thing that God, that you don't have a choice. You're already going to hell.
No. There's a lot more to it. We've got a break coming up. I'm going to respond to it. You're talking about a certain issue of human condition of sin. So let me get to that after the break, okay? Hey, folks, please stay tuned. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, before we get back to the caller, I just need to let you know that the summer months have been very lean for us here at the CARM Intergalactic Headquarters. If you are so inclined to support us financially, we could really use it. All you got to do is go to carm.org/schools. And if you you go there, you can check them out. You can get the schools at a great discount. It would really help us. And underneath that link there on that page is an option for for recurring donations. We would really love it if someone, if you out there would sign up for, say, $10, $15 a month. That would help us so much. We can then budget what we're going to be doing with the CARM website. And if you're driving, or we don't want you to text you while you're driving, but one of the things you can do on your phone is just text the word schools to the number 5700, and you'll just text toward schools, and the information will be passed to you there. So I hope that is something you will check out. We want to be able to keep producing the website as well as the radio show. And let's just say we definitely need that help, and we would appreciate that. Let's get back to Monique from Greensboro, North Carolina. Monique, welcome to the show.
Welcome back,
I should say.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, well, thank you. So I wanted to say before you continue there that I just want to be clear about where what I'm saying or what I'm asking. What I'm asking is to bring out that, in other words, there's no character flaw, as some man might consider it, in God as far as his choosing and all of those things. But in that also is when you're talking about the will of man. It is not as though he has taken away or did not allow us to have a true will in whether we're going to get saved or not. What I was saying about the perfection of our will, not the non-existent perfection of our will, even knowing the truth of getting saved or not getting saved and what it means and what it doesn't mean.
Here.
You see what I mean? I didn't want you to assume I was asking or saying something that I'm not saying.
No, it's okay. Let me help you out here, because we have to clarify some things, and it'll change your understanding of a few things. First of all, when someone said God is not fair, just listen to them and then ask them a question. What is their standard of righteousness by which they judge God? Where are they getting their standard of righteousness? Because if they're going to say that God is not fair, well, really, who says he's not fair? You? Is that your opinion? How do you know that your opinion is correct? Well, I just know that. What do you mean just know? You know, what's your standard? And that's something that has to be cross-examined. A lot of times what I'll do when I'm talking to people who say this is I will cross-examine them in the sense of, well, where's your standard? And what they try and do is dismiss it very quickly. I don't let them. I grab hold of their feet, drag them over by the fire, and hold their feet to the fire for 20, 30 minutes. Very politely, but repeatedly. Say, wait a minute, you just said this. Now, wait a minute, where'd you get that? I want them to understand they have no right to judge God. Period. Now, the second thing we've got to talk about here is the issue of free will, because free will is a misnomer. People think that free will is some autonomous thing, independent and self-sufficient, and has a quality called aseity, and is not affected by anything. It's not true. It's not biblical.
No, I understand that.
The Bible says that the unbeliever is a slave of sin. Romans 6, 14 through 20. He cannot receive or understand spiritual things, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. That his heart is full of wickedness, Jeremiah 17, 9. That he's dead in his sins, Ephesians 2, 1. And is by nature child of wrath, Ephesians 2, 3. He's at enmity with God. That means severe hatred and separation. And that's Ephesians 2, 15. And he can do no good. Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12. This is what the Bible says is the state of the unbeliever. Now, they have free will. Their free will is simply sinful. They're free to choose whatever they want to choose, and what they're going to want to choose is that which is consistent with their sinfulness. They're free. No one's forcing them to sin. No one's forcing them to choose to rebel against God. That's their natural state. So,
and that's kind of where I derive what I was answering to the person I'm thinking about, is that there is no unrighteousness in God, just as when Paul says in Romans 3:5. If our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, you know, what shall we say? Is God unjust? And going on and on. What I've tried to explain to them, and no one's really argued me after this particular part of the point, is that we can choose. God knows what any person's going to choose. He knows what any person's
Hold on.
Go ahead.
God does not know. It's a misnomer. It's a problem when people say God knows what we're going to choose. It's not because he can look into the future.
Hold on. Make sure you understand what I'm saying.
I know, but I need to clarify.
You're answering, but I had to. Go ahead.
I need to clarify something. God does not look into the future in any way because he happens to know what people are going to freely choose. And then he decides what to do based on what he foresees. That's a false doctrine.
Right.
And a lot of churches teach
that. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah, I need to make sure. That's a false teaching. Okay, good.
I know. See, and I know you're used to people coming from certain angles with certain points, and you're, you know, you've got your rebuttal ready, and I understand that. But
gotta,
that's why I want
clarify.
To make a lot of let me make sure you know what I'm saying before you start. Right. You know, so that the whole point is very simple for me is just that people understand the character of God. You know, a lot of people go back and then start arguing over words, and this means that, and that doesn't mean that, and he probably meant this. The character of God speaks for itself. It's supported throughout Scripture. The whole of Scripture supports the character of God. And the one thing I've told these people that have come to me with questions, I don't tend to get in arguments because he said we must not argue, but just let them know what the truth is in the Bible. And
do you have a
what
question,
I point
though?
Out is the character of God. Yes. That's,
okay.
You know what? I think somehow my fault, yours, either. Somehow you missed the whole context of what I'm saying, so I won't take up any
more
time.
I'm cautious because sometimes people want to get their radio and they want to do teaching, and I don't know where they're going from to. And that's why after a while I say, what's your question? Because I've had this happen. I've been doing radio for 14 years, so, you know, it's just, all right.
That's,
so, you know, you sound pretty good. But, you know, I just want to get your question.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's just very important for me to clarify before I have, you know, and then someone says, But yeah, and I know you're used to people coming from a certain place, and that's why I always ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what is this person really saying for myself?
Good for you.
But yeah, what I was asking for you to do, yeah, I think that's the only wise way. What I was asking you to do, because people do listen, is to draw out the simplest part of that. Of course, you went into depth, you know, but as far as God's character. And determining, even if you don't understand, like some of the things you were talking about or know of them at all, that you would understand when all else fails and you don't, when in doubt, go back to the character of God, pretty much. It's just God. There's nothing unrighteous in him. There's nothing unrighteous of him, and he doesn't contradict himself. That's all I would
say. Very good.
Really that simple.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
She started off with that. That's a good statement. I've been applauding, yes. I like it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You have the right attitude and the right assessment of God. So good for you.
Well, yeah, I agree with the word. It's real
good for you.
But God bless you. I won't take up any more time, but have a good weekend.
You
Thank
too.
You so
God
much.
Bless. All right. Thanks for the call. All right. That was Monique, and I enjoyed that, actually. Let's get to Carson from North Dakota. I used to live in North Dakota. How about that when I was younger? Carson, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me, Mr. Sweat.
Sure.
I really appreciate the work that you do, and I wanted to ask a quick question regarding the Trinity.
Okay.
I'm very interested in the sort of Hebrew, like what the Talmud and the Targum have to say about the Word and the Holy Spirit. So I was wondering, do you know anything about the Word and the Holy Spirit in ancient rabbinic teaching? And what sources and sort of scholars can you point me to?
I don't know much about it because I don't focus on the Talmud or the Targums, but I do have connections with people who do know a lot more about that than I do, who work specifically with Jewish people trying to preach the gospel to them and point them to Christ. But it's not very often that I do have access to the files, but I don't study them. But I do know that I don't have any really scholarly resources in that area. But you can go online and you can read the Targum and stuff. You know that. But I remember in seminary that my professor who taught Old Testament history and he taught Hebrew. It was a really interesting discussions that we as a class had one particular day, and he brought up the idea that there's a lot of evidence that ancient Israel, way before the time of Christ, that there were theologians in the Jewish context, way back there from other writings, that affirmed a kind of a Trinitarian doctrine because they were seeing the plurality of God in the Old Testament. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, because Isaiah 48:16, and go to Job 33:8, I believe it is. The Holy Spirit made me. Who will send me? We have a lot of verses that are really interesting. For example, Genesis 19:24, Jehovah rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from Jehovah. What? Jehovah reigned it from Jehovah. Or you can go to Zechariah 12:10, where the Father, well, God is speaking and says, they'll look upon me whom they have pierced, and they'll mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. He goes from me to him right away. And people are scratching their heads, what's going on here? And you'll have these verses where God is seen. And they're called, well, we call them Christophanies. Genesis 17:1, Genesis 18:1, Exodus 24:9-11, Numbers 12:6-8. And yet God can't be seen. And there's this dichotomy of plurality that's going on in the Old Testament. And plus, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The word one is echad, not yachid. And echad is like one group, like a group of grapes, where yachid is one singular thing, like a single stick. And so, but the plural unity is used of God. God is one. And so there are, I can argue with a Jewish person who holds the Old Testament. I can show the plurality of God from the Old Testament. And I have a lot of those verses memorized because I use them for the cults and things like that. But, there's a definite plurality and hint. And you can go to Genesis 1:26-27. Let us make man in our image. But what's the us? You know, and go to Genesis 11:7. Let us go down and confound their language. Then you can go to Isaiah 44:24, where it says the Lord made all things by himself alone. But yet he said, let us make. Only God does this, yet God says that he does it alone. And if you go to, for example, Amos 4:10-11, God is speaking. He says, I cause a stench to rise up in your nostrils. I slew your young men by the sword, yet you have not returned to me, declares Jehovah. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. But Jehovah's talking, and he says, I did it like God did it. There's a lot of plurality issues going on in the Old Testament and dealing with God.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I've also heard the objection, particularly from Muslim imams, you know, they'll say, well, I count three gods, you know, in the Trinity. They use the so-called counting argument.
Well, yeah,
and
it's because...
I've had many debates with Muslims.
Go ahead, sorry. We're almost out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry, as you're saying.
Yeah, we're out.
Okay.
No, call back Monday.
Never mind.
It's okay, man.
Yeah.
Call back Monday. Let's talk about this thing with the Trinity and the Muslims, okay? All right? Call back Monday. All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Okay, hey, folks, sorry about that. Bo from New Jersey. Hey, folks, we're out of time. You know what? Go check out the offer today for the books. So go to karm.org/schools. You can help us out. We really need it. God bless. Have a great weekend.